Genesis. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, and he said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The word of the Lord. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. The one who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a pledge. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk in by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we seek the honor to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. The word of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Clothes make the man. Naked people have little to no influence on society. So quipped Mark Twain. He was right. Clothes make the man. What we wear defines us, defines who we are, or at least defines who we say we are. The Brooks Brothers suit, military uniform, jeans and a Star Wars t-shirt. Women are probably more aware than men that we are judged by the clothes that we wear. It's dress, pantsuit, yoga gear. Actresses on the red carpet at the Oscars are not primarily asked about their award-worthy performances, but instead, breathlessly, who are you wearing? We write people off for what they wear. The rags of a homeless person, workman's coveralls, the hipster's mismatched Goodwill ensemble. We have songs about clothes. Justin Timberlake's ode to the suit and tie, Elvis and his blue suede shoes. And the musical Hello Dolly advises that we put on our Sunday clothes when you feel down and out. Clothes make the man. We're not even immune from it in the pulpit. We put on a robe, or we
suit up, or we don our Fred Rogers sweaters. Clothes make the preacher. And this isn't meant so much as a condemnation, as much as an observation. After all, we know not to judge a book by its cover. Clothes serve a necessary function. By no means am I suggesting that we should forego clothing. Yet there are ways in which our clothes can symbolize the false identities we construct because we don't trust that we are enough, that the person that God has created is enough. Naked people have little to no influence on society. And we need to be influential. We need to be important. We need to be powerful. To be powerless is to be weak. And only the strong will survive. In this postmodern context, where we have deconstructed the deconstructions, we are each burdened with forming our own identities. We say who we are. The great question is no longer, what is the meaning of life? There is no more meaning. The question is, who am I? And that question, who am I, must find an answer within a cultural meta-narrative of scarcity, the great myth of our time, that there is simply not enough to go around. So it's every man, woman, and child for themselves. We venerate the self-made man as if there were such a thing, and crown competition as the most noble of systems. We compete for resources. We compete for meaning. We compete for likes on Instagram and followers on Twitter. And an alarming number of children now say that becoming famous is what is most important in life. Fame, power, material possession, these are the clothes that make the influential modern man, woman, child. Advertisers and corporations know this. They look to brand us with their logo. Clothe yourself in us, in our products and services, they say. Who are you? You're an Adidas guy, a Sephora girl, a Lexus driver, an Apple user, a Fox News watcher, a Nintendo kid, a Target shopper. So we buy, and we watch, and we play, and we tweet. We consume, but the Big Mac leaves us feeling empty, the shopping spree leaves us unsatisfied, the caramel macchiato buzz wears off all too quickly. We consume, but we are not filled. So we consume some more. If I make it sound as though this is a new dilemma, a situation unique to the postmodern context, I don't mean to. This is but the most recent expression of a struggle that is at the heart the human condition. In the garden, Adam and Eve lived in paradise, living in relationship with the Lord who provided what they needed. They had no need to construct false identities, masks to hide their supposed insufficiencies, for they were image bearers of God. And who would want to cover that up? They were truly human and children of God. What other identity could they hope to have? But the lies of a serpent wormed their way into the minds of these children. What secret knowledge was God keeping from them? Convinced that they could become like God, they picked the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they ate. And suddenly they saw that they were naked. The eyes of both of were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves, because clothes suddenly felt insufficient. They hid from God, and we have been hiding from God ever since, hiding from each other behind the clothing of our false selves. But these clothes we construct are itchy. Our souls know that the identities we fashion for ourselves are prone to decay. They won't last forever because we make them. And even though we ate of the fruit, we are not gods. Nothing we build will last forever. If we're honest, we wouldn't want it to. So shot through with sin is everything we make with our own hands. We groan, along with the creation that we have corrupted, longing for redemption. Lent is probably the itchiest season of them all, the groaniest time of the year, and not because of bad Pi Day puns. It's the time when we in the church examine ourselves. We look in the mirror at everything that we dress ourselves up. This is hard. At once, we want to shed the rags of our sinful natures while fighting the urge to cover up even more. And the more we put on, the more we itch, we groan. Lent presents a special challenge to those of us in ministry, to those of us preparing for ministry. We are expected to be holy, to be examples. But we are susceptible to the constructs and the lies of the false self as anyone. And standing here before you, it is difficult to set aside the desire to want to impress you, to seek the approval of faculty, the admiration of my peers. And those false ambitions paralyzed me in preparing this sermon, because the point of the sermon is not to impress, to share the word of the Lord. And so in Lent, and throughout the year, we itch, we groan, we long for clothes that fit. In Lent, we groan for a new wardrobe. And Paul assures us that the clothes of Christ make the new Eve, the new Adam, the true human. God has promised that we will not be found naked. God has pledged to make new clothes for us. Clothes not made by human hands. Clothes that are eternal, that do not fade or shrink or make us look fat. Clothes that let us not care if we look fat. We long to be comfortable in our own skin so that we can stop judging one another by the clothes that we wear. Clothes that will allow us to stop hiding from God. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. In the love and faithfulness of Christ, we find the security to drop our masks. We find the confidence to be the humans that God created us to be, image bearers of the divine. We seek the honor to please God. Be assured that it is safe to examine ourselves in this time, to look at our lives and to discard what doesn't fit, what makes us itch, what we groan to remove, for we have clothes of Christ Jesus. And we will not be found naked. The clothes of